Great. Hey, keep standing just for a second. We're so glad that you're here. Some of you maybe who are part of our VBS program this last week. I just want to see real quickly, those of you who are at VBS, kids, and those of you who are volunteers, and those of you, maybe parents or grandparents who had kids there, raise your hand real quickly. It was incredible. We had about 240 kids signed up and over 120, I think, volunteers throughout the whole time. This was just filled with all kinds of energy in songs like that, and so we're so grateful. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we just do this congregational psalm together, and you'll read this first part with me. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then all of us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And here as I read this, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. And together we say, amen. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. I want to just share with you briefly, we're in a series called the Summer Playlist, which is this idea that if you look at Billboard charts, they'll say the top 50 all-time songs of country music or of rock music or all-time top love songs. Well, in the Old Testament, there is a number of recorded songs in the book of Psalms, 150, I believe, what they consider to be the all-time favorites of the children of Israel. And so we are going through a series where we're just looking at a few of those today. We're looking primarily at Psalms 95 through 105. We're going to start at 100. I'll read to you a few of those 95 to 100 because they all have a theme. Every one of them. The Lord reigns. He is king. You may have seen the debates on Thursday. One of those guys might be the leader of the free world, but they are not the leader, the king of the whole universe. There's only one. And he rules and he controls everything. So here's what you need to know. Because he reigns, it should emote some kind of response. We should, as it says in Psalm 95, he says, shout for joy, shout aloud, for the Lord is great, the great God, the great King above all gods. Psalms 96, proclaim among the nations. Let every nation know this, the Lord reigns. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Even our frustrated, polluted, climate change kind of world should be thrilled because God is still God. And it says in Psalm 98, verse 4 through 6, shout for joy, burst in jubilant song, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. And 99:1, the Lord reigns, let the nations tremble, let the earth shake. Here's why Sundays are so important. What I want you to think about is it's your opportunity every Sunday to refocus and get recharged according to some truth. So one of those is that the Lord reigns, right? Whatever we may think about different things, we may agree and disagree on a whole lot of different things, but one thing we agree on is that God reigns, right? And that should bring us together. That should cause us to shout for joy, as it says. That should cause us to sing. That should cause us to rejoice. So here's the deal. I'm going to just give a few prompts like this to say, let's worship. And usually you hear me give the message to you. Well, you are going to today give the message to God, okay? This is all about your response as you come into these songs. Sing them with a deep sense of that God reigns. It says in Psalm 100, shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him like you are right now with joyful songs. And what you need to note is the psalmist doesn't say get a little happy, maybe crack a smile, sing softly, but don't get too excited. You don't want to do that in church, right? No, God says shout, worship, get excited, come into his presence because here's what you know. You know that the Lord is God and that is he who made you and we are his. And we are the sheep of his pasture. He is your shepherd. He cares for you. He watches over you. He is your king. He is your shepherd. He is your God.
So get excited about that. No matter what is going on in your life right now, you can proclaim that. You are not owned by your job or by anyone. You are God's. No matter what you have done, how you feel about God, he hasn't changed how he feels about you. So refocus, recharge, and as you enter, it says with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him, praise his name. So here's what I want you, kids, you are in VBS, you know how to do this better sometimes than your parents. You're going to need to lead them in some singing here in just a moment, okay? Because we're going to sing some of the songs that you sang. What I want you to do before we do that is think of one or two things you're really thankful for, okay? One or two things you're really thankful for. And then tell your parent or someone next to you right now, real quickly, think about what you're thankful for. Because when you're thankful, it begins to move you into a place of joy. Okay, it's our turn and greet, and I usually don't do those real long. So here's what I want you to hear, folks. Enter with thanksgiving what you've just expressed, because God is good, his love endures forever, right? And his faithfulness continues from little kids all the way to people as old as me. Let's stand together and continue to worship God. Why don't you stand, because we're going to read together the scripture from Psalm 103, the verse two verses. We believe God's word is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he's revealed through the word of God. And it's here where we can hear his voice and know his heart for us. Jesus became the word in flesh so that we could know the heart of God. So it says in Psalm 103, let's say this together, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Thanks, you may be seated. Those first few verses, as I said earlier, these are going to be prompts, because the message, I really don't want it to primarily be me to you, often what I truly desire happens is that God speaks through me to you in my imperfection. He uses the gifts I have just like he uses the gifts you have. It could be a gift to serve, to administrate. It could be a gift of encouragement through song. It could be so many different places. The Word of God tells us each one of us who have the Spirit of God living inside us has a gift of the Spirit. And so that's what, you know, we're called to do, is use those. So as I speak this and allow, I pray the Spirit of God to speak through me to you, what I'm most desiring is for your response to him. You have an opportunity to give your heart in this sense to God and to tell him in this time. You can do it at any time, any day through the week. In fact, God wants you to practice living in his presence. But there's something about Sundays that's an opportunity for us to kind of stop, as I said earlier, to refocus and recharge. It's one of the most important things that I do in my own personal life, is I try to, most every morning, take time where I set aside some time just to kind of get centered again on the reality and truth that God is who he says he is and that God wants to speak to me. But even more than that, what I have learned through the years, that as I spend time in his presence, there's something about coming to him in each and every day, whether I have just felt like the biggest sinner or whether I feel like I have the greatest joys or whether I feel frustrated or whatever it is, there's something about coming into his presence and giving my heart to him, just like I'm asking you to do as we continue to worship in a few moments. There's something that happens when you come before him and he unconditionally loves you. There's something transforming about experiencing God's love in those quiet moments. And that may happen for you in different ways. For me, I started a number of years back when I was it was that year of the drought, I think it was 1989. I remember it was as dry as could be. It was brittle, the grass, you walked on it. I was at a cabin, in fact. I was there just taking time to study and prepare my heart for some of the messages coming up in the fall. I try and do that through the summer. And I remember walking on the grass in my bare feet, and it hurt because it was so brown. And the leaves on the trees, we're talking, it was like the end of July. The leaves on the trees were all brown. The lake water had receded 20, 30 feet back so that you had to move your docks back in order to even have a boat in the water. And I was experiencing a lot of success in my ministry, and I remember coming into it feeling incredibly dry. I mean, I had, prior to that, I would take time where I would kind of get centered with the Lord, but in that moment, in that time, when I just brought that sense of dryness to God, and here I'm supposed to be putting messages together for a church, in that moment, it was like God said to me, I don't care what you do for me. What I'm really concerned about is who you become. And the only way you can become is to be with me. And he gave me the image of one of my best friends who lived in California at the time. If he had come back like at 5 a.m. and had about an hour at the airport, this is what was going through my mind. It was like this thought that said, if that person came, would you get up at 4:30 or whatever time to go out there to meet him? And that's when you didn't have all the stuff, you know, you could actually go to the gates, et cetera. But would you go there? And I remember just thinking, of course I would. And it was like the Spirit of God said, well, would you meet with me? And at that time, my kids were like 2 and 4, and it was like the Lord was saying, 5 a.m. before the kids disturb you. Are you kidding me? All I know is in that moment, over the last... I don't know how many years, 40-some, whatever it is. I have learned to experience the presence and love of God, and I have had opportunity to just recite the benefits. And so when you read Psalm 103, and he says, praise the Lord, my soul, my inmost being, praise his holy name. Let it come from within you. There's almost a sense of inner dialogue that's going on here with the author of this psalm. It's like he's just going. It'd be almost like if I was to get up this morning and go, wake up, Kevin. Quit going through the motions. I would really love for you to shake off your apathy. I'd love for you to set aside the sense of gloom or whatever else might have your attention right now. In fact, what I would really love is for you to turn your mind on me for a moment and remember, don't forget all your benefits, and just go through those benefits and recognize in that how much I love you. It was last Sunday after the service, there was one of our grandfathers who was taking care of one of his kids, holding him in his arms, and he's usually pretty exuberant. And I said, hello, and it was like he was really distracted, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? And then he went on to tell me, well, we were taking care of the kids this weekend, our grandkids, and then I got it right away, what was going on. And he shared with me that one of the grandsons had taken and spilled, poured some kind of dressing all over the carpeting, and then had maybe accidentally spilled or purposely, he wasn't sure on this, red juice all over the refrigerator, besides a few other things. And when I was talking to him, he is just telling me that, yes, we lost our grandson. He went AWOL for the last 15 minutes, and we couldn't find him here in the church. He was hiding in the cry room. And they found him, and he said, I'm just exhausted. What I found is really important, and I think about that as I go, I know, you know, at first I should say, you know, if the parents are here, if you didn't know that, I'm sorry, you know now. you don't want them taking care of your kids. Anyway, what I found is really kind of funny about that is I know if I ask that person, after all that little child did, do you still love this little one, and they would go for sure. I love them. Nothing. This is my grandchild. Right? Would you still, you know, take care of him over the weekend? Not at all. I'm sure that's what it is. Not a chance. The benefits are simple. And I'm just going to go through some of them that he lists. He basically says, remember, use your mind and your memory, which is what God calls us to do. Living this life means you need to use your mind. Develop it, be as sharp as you can, ask the questions, go ahead and let the doubts penetrate so that you can go to God. God has no problem with that. So use your mind and use your memory to rekindle your emotions for God. And in a sense, your response to God is that God tells you, like I just said, he loves you unconditionally. He has forgiven you. Listen to what it says. He says he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So I just think a second. Do you recall a time when you've been forgiven? How many are in a marriage relationship? Raise your hand. How many have a father or mother? They don't have to be living, just have had a father or mother. Raise your hand. You've experienced forgiveness. You've been in relationship because someone has chose to let go of some of the things that you maybe intended or didn't intend to do, but hurt them and wounded them and caused a deep sense of pain. But they had to kind of take the pain and go ahead and absorb that, and out of that sense of sacrifice, they've come back to you and said, let's continue to build this trust. And God says that to you. Do you know a time when you've been forgiven? In fact, I love this. You might want to meditate on Psalm 103, verses 10 through 14. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Now catch this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear, who revere him, who look to him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now catch this. As a father has compassion on his children, as a grandfather who is taking care of some kids in a weekend, as a father has compassion on those who fear him, on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear and look to him. For here's what he knows. He knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. He recognizes the fact that you are finite, you are limited. He recognizes the fact that you are human. He knows. He knows that you are imperfect. And he's aware of that. So when you come to God, oh man, this is a hard lesson learned. I'm still learning it. When you have sinned and you have failed him and you know that you've failed him and you've kind of gone like, he shouldn't give me another chance. The most redeeming thing you can do is come back into God's presence and let him love you. And get out of your head. If your desire and your heart is for God, which he knows, get out of your head that you don't deserve it and you shouldn't do it. Because what transforms you is to stand in the presence of someone who loves you so much that even when you're at your worst, they still love you. And really, when you hear that, we should want to shout for joy. I still have a relationship with the one who created me. He knows I'm finite. He knows I'm limited. He knows I don't really always have my act together. And sometimes I don't even want to have my act together. And sometimes I actually act in ways that I shouldn't. And he still loves me. Amen. We should be shouting for joy. That's our response. That's your message to God. He goes on and he not only says that, he talks about the fact that this is a God who heals. We pray for healing here, and sometimes we see it. Sometimes we don't see the healing, which is an ultimate healing when you go to be with God. But we still pray. We still believe that we're called to pray and pray and pray. Even in the midst of when a person doesn't seem to be getting better, we continue to stand in faith. God, we would pray because you're a healing God. And if he chooses to do differently or things go differently, we'll still trust you. So I come down to VBS on Wednesday, and I wanted to say hello to one of the volunteers who was in a class with my son, grandson, and that'd be an old guy who would be in that class with my son, with my grandson. And I wanted to get there before all the kids came in and just wanted to say, you know, I'm praying for you. I know that her husband was going through some really difficult time with cancer, very grim outlook, and had met with him and heard the story, and I just wanted to share the fact that even though I'd seen her the last couple days, I didn't get a chance to say how much we're praying for them. And it was Wednesday. I knew she wasn't there Tuesday. And she just looked at me and she said, we went to the doctor and we got a report and that he is clean, clear of cancer.
So, okay. That's your response to God right there. It's clapping. There's a sense of God, thank you for how you've brought healing in this life. Psalm 103:4 says, he redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. It means that God rescues. Have you ever been at your lowest in the pits, full of anxiety, despairing, hopeless, feeling broken? Have you ever been in that kind of situation before? Maybe you were in a financially difficult time, and then all of a sudden God, in his mercy and grace, intervenes and you get a check or you get a promotion or you get a raise. Or maybe you're in a situation you've been broken and in despair and God brings someone into your life who is Jesus in flesh to you. You ever had that experience? Ever been in a situation where you have needed rescue and God rescued you? Overwhelmed with anxiety, maybe in despair, not in control of your life, and you just said, God, I need your help, and he guided you to certain people. May have been to counseling. I may have been to a person who had some teaching on it, and God rescued you. You ever been in that place? Your heart has to say, thank you, God. I shout to you. I love you. And then Psalm 103:5, and I'll just finish on this. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Have you ever chased after things that you see on TV or the world seeks to offer and says, this is going to be the thing that really scratches this. This is going to be the thing that really, you know, if you just get married or if you just fall in love or if you just have this, those are all good things. You know, just get this car. There's good things that God gives us, but if it's out of order and we think that's going to really quench our thirst, it isn't going to happen. And then God comes along and he makes himself real to you, and all of a sudden you go, whoa, here is someone who fills my deepest longing, fulfills it. So basically, forgiveness, he goes on, and this psalm is longer, healing, he redeams and buys back, he crowns you with love and compassion, he satisfies your deepest longing, he renews your youthfulness, he always does what is right, he brings justice to the oppressed, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, he doesn't hold a grudge and harbor anger forever, he shows compassion like a good, good father, because God gets us and understands us, and he loves us, and that's who God is. And when you let your mind and your memory rekindle your emotions, you can't help but get excited. You can't help but show some emotion. You can't help but thank him and praise him and smile and cheer and shout and dance to the fact that the Lord reigns, God wins, ultimately wins it all. Right? No matter what situation you're in, he's still there. And so he says, dance and jump and shout. But some of us who are really good Norwegians here, how many are Norwegians? How many are Swedes? Scandinavians, whatever you guys are. Some of you go, yeah, but you don't want to show a lot of emotion. You don't want to get too excited in church. We don't ever want to be called holy rollers or dancers or whatever. You don't do that in church, right? Because what? The Persians, I don't care, Germans, wherever you are. There's sometimes this sense that we come into church, we have to be very staid and polite. And I'm telling you, your response today, I hope, is one that you can let some emotion out. Because you know what? It is a lie. I can tell you, I'll tell you right now, it is a lie that Scandinavians don't have emotions. I live with one. But even more than that, some of you might remember these clips of a bunch of Norwegians and Swedes and Germans and others just going crazy. Let's show them.
Minnesota bench hoping to get this winning run across here in the 10th. It's carried by Dan Gladden at third. Base is loaded, one out. Infielders are sort of halfway at second and short. Pena in a jam. The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it. It's a base hit. It's a 1-0, 10-inning victory.
Look at that.
for a baseball hit.
Tandem steps into it. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Okay, so here you go. Much greater than the Minneapolis Miracle is the miracle that God loves you and 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 never lets you go, will chase after you even when you've done wrong. Let's stand together and worship God. That was phenomenal. Thank you. God is praised. You know, I didn't show those clips for those of you who feel like I just can't, you know, this is not what I'm used to in church. Don't be guilt. It's not about guilt. I just wanted to let you know that there are places everyone goes crazy. And it's okay. I love watching you dance up here at times. I mean, bouncing around. Doesn't mean you have to dance, but I don't care if you feel like it. I mean, we're here to worship God and express our heart to Him. It doesn't mean you have to raise your hand or not. Doesn't make you more spiritual. None of these things that are affects make you more spiritual. It's more about, am I in a place where I can open my heart and just share with God my love? It's about your response to Him. So we're going to read this psalm together, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 4. Let's read this together. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him. Yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exalt in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continuously seek Him. Remember the wonders He has performed. Amen. Amen. I just want to share with you as we kind of close. Look for God this week, would you? Look for signs of His presence. Keep your heart and your ears open to Him. And when you see Him work, tell Him thanks. I know it's not easy as you go through the week because we get so caught up and distracted. And we need to give our mind and our attention to others. But it's also, it would be really weird if I lived with Grace and throughout the week, because we're both doing our own thing, we never once talked to each other. Right? Sit at supper and... Part of working in a relationship with God is recognizing, just like my wife in our relationship or yours with someone that you love or care about, that it would be weird not to spend time and talk to Him when you're... Well, God's always with you. So there are moments where you can kind of just stop and say, thank you, God. Watch for His presence. Look for Him. This is what this Psalm 105 talks about. There were times in the past, and it talks about Israel as a nation being brought to Egypt and then being freed, all the signs of God's presence. And then for at one point prior to them being freed, Joseph, it says, until God intervened. Watch for God even to intervene in your life, or pray for someone who you know needs encouragement. Write a note. I don't know what it is, but let the goodness of your heart out. It's so easy. I do it all the time. It's so easy to get life centered just on me and my worries, my anxieties. Part of the reason we come on Sundays is to go, oh, you know what? There's someone greater. There are people who need us. So God, help me learn to live and love. Transform this heart of mine to become loving like Jesus in every way. Psalm 105, let me just read it to you in the Message. Hallelujah. Thank God. Pray to Him by name. Tell everyone you meet what He has done. Sing Him songs and belt out hymns. Translate His wonders into music. Honor His holy name with hallelujahs. You who seek God, live a happy life. That's kind of interesting. Keep your eyes open for God. Watch for His works. Be alert for the signs of His presence. We're going to end this service, and I was thinking about it, and this is, I think, the way I do want to go. I'm going to let you just respond in sentences or even in words. It could be, I love this God, my God of truth or faithfulness, whatever it is. I'm just going to ask you to shout it out as a way as we close. So if you feel the Lord prompting you to do so, please do so. Let's just turn our hearts to Him in prayer as we close this service.